Hello, welcome to the Podcast of Things. My name's Ed Martin. I'm joined by my co-host, George Murphy.
Hi, guys.
The Podcast of Things is a weekly podcast where we take inspiration from the Internet of Things. We talk about things we like, things we don't like, and everything in between. Back 2 weeks in a row, George. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. It's good to be back again. I think we really missed it last time, more than we actually realised. So, yeah, it's good to get some consistency back and hopefully roll straight through now, which would be lovely.
Yeah, well, I think that's it. We're kind of the end is in sight for you. I've finished. You got kind of 3 or 4 days before the end of term, right?
Seven.
You got another whole week.
Yeah, so this week and next week.
Okay, fine. Nearly there. The home is straight. And as of today, we're now 100% vaccinated.
Hey.
Which is good. I had my second jab this morning. I was just saying, literally just before recording, I felt fine. And now thinking about it, my arm's a little bit sore. But otherwise, I feel good. Excited that we're double vaccinated. And yeah, cool. Well, with that being said, let's just crack on with the cool stuff and your thing of the week, George.
Okay, so my thing of the week is something that I've loved for a very, very long time. But kind of forgot about for probably like, oh, I don't know, 20 years, maybe less, 15 years, something like that. So I've just recently, okay. Recently rediscovered it again, based on a fluky thought that crossed my mind. And it is the Abe's Odyssey series.
Oh, yes. Okay, yep. Yeah.
And I didn't even plan on talking about it, but I've just been playing it, so, yep. You know, I was like, I need to talk about this. I started thinking about the fourth one a little while ago, which is Stranger's Wrath, where you're like a bounty hunter with a crossbow. And I was like, I wonder if I could play that. And it turns out on Steam, you can get the first four games for like a tenner.
So, nice. I might have to look at that.
Yeah, completely not my intention to play the first two because I remember them being painfully difficult. I just wanted to play the fourth one.
Yes, absolutely.
I thought rude not to. Earlier in the week, I started playing the first one, Abe's Odyssey. And then for those of you who don't know, basically he's like a weird humanoid sort of ghoulish kind of guy. He works in a factory, and it turns out that his employees and his colleagues are being mashed up into pies. He leads a revolt, and you basically got psychic powers for some reason, and you can control things and take over the baddies. And it's a platform game with lots of puzzles. And I think I played the first one for a total of 30 minutes, because the control system on PC takes the game from being unbelievably difficult to almost impossible. And I didn't have the patience for it. So I deleted the first one, rekindled my love. Now I'm about 3 hours into the second one now. And that one's a bit more playable. Cause you know, in PS1 games, like when you played Rayman and Crash Bandicoot 1, it was to the inch. You had to be so precise to the inch with what you were doing. And with a D-pad, that's almost impossible to do. Second one's a bit more forgiving, so I've actually managed to get into that.
Yeah.
Have you played these games at all?
Yeah. So Abe's Odyssey was probably one of the first games I ever played. That and Croc.
Croc on PS1. Yeah.
So yeah, and I don't know. I don't know if I think it's probably a mixture of both because I remember it being impossibly hard, but I don't know whether that was because I was younger and therefore games were just harder in general, or whether actually the game was hard and PS1 games were just really hard in general at that time. And I think it's probably a mixture of both. Like it was one of those games where I just replayed the first 4 or 5 levels over and over and over and over again because I couldn't get any further.
No. And that's kind of what I was hoping to do especially with the first one, was actually get somewhere with it. But it wasn't the fact that you were younger. These games are completely unforgiving, and
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, 25 minutes ago, I nearly deleted the second one because I just could not, I could not work out like how I was meant to do this thing. It seemed impossible. I even Googled a walkthrough, and the walkthrough said I was doing everything right, but the timings, the timing had to be so spot on that it made it, it took me 25 attempts to do something. And the reason I chose this today is because when was the last time you played a game? Like, when was the last time you played a game that was so difficult it took you 25 attempts to do something? Like, in like, when was the last time you did that?
I think early PS1 games were certainly the last time I did that. I always hark back to, I've tried Dark Souls a couple of times, and that is beyond me. And I played maybe an hour of it, and I just couldn't get on with it because it's like, it's just not. I like games. Obviously, we both like playing lots and lots of games, but I'm not particularly good at games necessarily. Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm not like elite gamer. So is I need a bit of hand holding, and Dark Souls is definitely not that. But Abe's Odyssey is certainly one, and there was also a game back in the day, the similar kind of game, and I think it's called Heart of Darkness.
Yeah, that's a fucking brilliant game. Where you're chased by the weird smoky shadow things. Yeah,
and you're like a little kid with a really cool like ray gun thing.
Yeah.
And again, one of those games I played the first three or four levels about 50 times, and that's as far as I got. I just kept replaying it and replaying it. But yeah, other than that, I think Abe's Odyssey is certainly one. And I can hear him chanting in my head right now.
You.
That's the one. And it's just one of those sounds that you just can't get out of your brain, and it's just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, the games these days are difficult, but they aren't retry. Like, The Witcher is probably the most difficult RPG I've ever played. Even that, it's not... You're not spending 2 hours on one thing. It's 20 minutes. Do you know what I mean? It's a few... I did that wrong. I need to do it this way. But aside from that, like, it's a really dark game, but it's also got a lot of humour in it. Like, the monsters in it are genuinely scary.
Yeah.
And they make you feel actually scared when you play the game because they're coming after you and the noises they make.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems pathetic because it's just a... You know, but it's a genuinely scary experience. I just kind of wanted to bring something a bit nostalgic. I will eventually go on to Stranger's Wrath, which is a completely different game, but I couldn't resist, you know, bringing back 8-year-old me playing Abe's Odyssey, chanting at people.
I like it a lot, and I kind of want to go play it. They did the remake when the PS4 first came out, I think, and I got that as well, but it's not like the remake's not the same. Like, the levels were exactly the same, but it was like 3D and it was like really good graphics, but it just doesn't have the same feeling.
No.
And I remember we played Abe's Odyssey in second year of uni, when we got a PS1 and we played it in second year. We got quite far then. That's literally like the furthest year the first I ever got on that game was when I was 21 years old. But no, I like it, and I like that thing of the week. And now it's nostalgic. You're right. But cool. Like, well, anything else to add on that game? I had a point that I was going to make, but now I cannot remember it for the life of me. I blame Pfizer.
We'll take Pfizer on that one.
Memory fog and brain fog. Yeah. But cool. Well, with that being said, let's just crack on with my thing of the week. However, as always, this is the point of the show where we plug our podcasts. Again, thank you for all your support so far. We're growing. We're continuing to grow. As we always say, word of mouth is the best way of getting our podcast out there. So please do that. Go over to Instagram at @podcasterthings and on Twitter at @podcasterthings. Give us a follow. Give us a shout out. From there, you can see all our posts, see our beautiful faces and things we get up to on a daily basis. If you haven't got Instagram, anchor.fm/podcasterthings. Give us a subscribe there. You can check out our back catalogue and get notifications as and when brand new episodes go live. And finally, email podcasterthings20@gmail.com. Did you ever play Abe's Odyssey? What was your favourite PlayStation 1 game? Were you a Final Fantasy person or anything like that? We'd love to know. Let us know what your nostalgic game is from when you were 8 years old. And we'd love to hear from you. We will. So with that being done, let's get back to my thing of the week. Cool. So my thing of the week. This is, again, I had a few things of the week in mind, but this is, I think, I'm going to go with it because this is the first time in a while this is something that I'm actually doing this week, and it's kind of related to what you were talking about last week, George. But this week, I'm going to go see the golf in Sandwich in Kent.
Wow.
Which is the Open Championship, which is like a prestigious major tournament. And I luckily Katie is working there, so I managed to get some free tickets, which is quite nice. So we're going down for the weekend to Kent, to Ramsgate, and to Sandwich, and to the Open Championship. Now, I know very little about golf. Like I like sport, I like golf, I like all sports. As I said about tennis, I know very little about golf. I can hit it quite far, but I don't really know like the ins and outs. So you know, I know it's a very technical game. And I know it's very skillful, but I suppose like tennis, it's very individual, and that I kind of struggle with that. So that's kind of what I'm doing this week, and I thought I'd just chat out about it. The course looks amazing. I'm going to be spending most of the time in the 19th hole, no doubt. But yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing this week. What's your kind of feelings on golf in general?
So my main sort of like experience with golf, I mean, I've been to a few driving ranges, I've done a few like pitch and putts, which I really enjoy. I'm not good at it. I'm also not as bad as I'd think I would be.
Wait, are you better or worse than you are at tennis?
Oh, much better at golf.
Okay.
Yeah, I can actually, if we were to go to play pitch and putt, like, it wouldn't be embarrassing. I could actually join in.
Yeah.
I've never like played on a full course or anything. I haven't got the money or the inclination to. But aside from that, my main interest in golf came from the old PGA games. So
oh yes, the Tiger Woods ones.
Because they were outstanding games. They were
really good games.
At the time, it was those and the Fight Night boxing games were the two sport games that were just elite. Yeah, yeah. And that was the FIFA, the old FIFA 03 or whatever it was.
Was Fight Night, this is completely off topic, was Fight Night the boxing game where you could literally, you could be the medic and like you could like touch up the cuts and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, that was a good game.
And you used the analog stick to punch and stuff. But that got me into golf. And then when I worked in the bookies, I used to watch quite a bit of golf. But I'm not really that fussed about it. I love Happy Gilmore. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great film.
Great film.
But yeah, golf's just something that kind of, I've never got into, but
yeah,
I do completely get it. There's no,
yes,
it's not. I'm not going to argue the toss that it's a waste of time. I get why people like to golf. I get why people like to watch golf. I just have never.
I think
got
it's a
there.
Very social sport.
Yeah, it is.
Like
is it
like? And obviously, you hear a lot about like the corporate side of things. You know, a lot of deals are done on the golf course and stuff like that. That's not really my style. But I just. I think the Tiger Woods games were just they were top notch, and I played them to death. And like you, I've been around golf. I used to work at a hotel and golf club, so it was always like there was always pros and there was always people who used to love golf coming in. So and I can understand it. It is a bit dull, though. I think like. I don't know. Like I don't know what to expect. I've never been to see a real life golf tournament, so I'm not really sure. They're gonna obviously, they're super impressive. It's gonna hit a long way. They're gonna be putting it from 50 yards or 50 feet or however you measure putts, and you're gonna be like, wow. But at the end of the day, like with tennis, I just don't really care or get that like sense of excitement from like I do when I'm watching rugby or even like watching the Euros. Like it seems a bit, it's just like one of the sports that I'm like, why? Like, it seems a bit like, who really cares?
I think you kind of pointed out the issue I've got with golf, and perhaps why the main reason why I've never gone to play it is I don't like the idea of doing something and then having to walk for 10 minutes and then have to do it again. I'd get it if I could. I reckon I could do 3 holes before I was like, nah, fuck this. I'd need constant stimulation, and perhaps if I could do something on the way to get the ball. I mean, and I'm being optimistic that I could hit the ball far enough for it to be a walk. But you know, in the ideal sense of you're actually playing a game of golf, like, you know, you need to hit it a fair way. So, a fair way, nailed it.
Nice. I like it. I see what you did there.
But yeah, I think that's my only issue with it, is I need the instant gratification.
Yeah.
And I need the muscle memory, because I feel like by the time I've walked from point A to point B, I would have forgotten what I'd done. Whereas if it's like tennis, and you get a rhythm up, you go, okay, cool, I've done that. With darts.
Yeah.
With darts, you throw a few, and you're like, right, I need to do this. With pool, it's the same. You know, you're kind of adjusting as you go. Whereas with golf, I'd forget, or I'd have had a beer.
Yeah.
I'd have drunk half a beer between there and there. I'd just lost it. So maybe that, it's laziness. It's laziness is what I'm wanting on.
But having said that, probably the most exciting thing about, probably, not that I know, I never played a full round of golf either, but the most exciting thing about golf is probably like being able to drive a golf cart. Like that's something.
That's true. That's a very good point.
But I just think it seems a lot of investment in terms of, you know, time and money.
Yeah.
And I know I don't, as Rich coming from me, so for someone who plays cricket for 8 hours every Saturday, but at least that is a like you said, a constant, you know, with golf, like I completely agree. Like it's you hit a shot, then you've got to walk and you don't, but with all other sport, quite a lot of other sports, is just there's at least a continuous switch on, and you know, a switch that you have to turn on, and you know, you're always, there's always something to be doing.
I completely agree. And the other thing is, it's not the time investment's different, because you're playing cricket for 8 hours and you're enjoying it. With golf, I think the time investment issue is actually the time you've got to put in before you can even bother.
There's
most sports, curling probably not, ice hockey definitely not. But other than that, horse riding, anything on a horse, obviously.
Yeah.
But other than that, you can attempt a sport, any sport.
Yes.
And crack on with it, and you're going to be bad, but you're going to learn, and you know, you could be fundamentally okay. With golf, I feel like you need to spend 4 weeks at a driving range, then you need to spend 2 weeks at a pitching part. You need to be able to do something, because if I turned up on a golf course tomorrow with a full set of clubs, no one else around, just me, I wouldn't finish a hole, because I would not be able to physically know what to do enough to get the ball to the hole. I'd be better off picking it up and throwing it, and that's saying something.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So I think that's the other thing that puts me off. It's not like, oh, should we go and play golf next weekend? It's, oh, in 6 months, would you like to go play golf when we've practiced twice a week to go and play golf?
Yeah.
So
it is difficult, isn't it? I think that's it. I think you're right. It is. To get an enjoyment out of it, you have. But I think that's probably the part of the process, though, isn't it? And why people enjoy it 100%. Is that constant improvement. And I mean, we'd be remiss of talking about golf without talking about like mini golf and.
Oh yes.
You know, like fun golf. Is that mini golf is the right term, isn't it?
Mini golf and crazy golf.
Crazy golf. Thank you. Yeah. And like foot golf and stuff, you know, golf seems to be a pretty standard thing. I have played mini golf in ages, actually. But I think there's lots of ways to enjoy it. I just don't know, like, it just seems a bit, I don't know. But I'm excited, because it'll be an experience. I think that, and the weather's supposed to be really nice, which will make a massive change. Screw going to see golf when it's pissing down with rain. No
chance.
But
I think... I think you'll enjoy it, and I think you. Yeah. I mean, you like being outside. You like being in like a crowd, a sports crowd, and you like seeing people do mad shit that you can even conceive of. So, I think you'll be all right when you're there, and just like make.
I'm a little bit nervous about the crowd aspect of it.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, but you know, I don't think there's going to be 10,000 people there. You can spread yourself out.
It's 26,000 people.
Okay,
going.
So there's going to be 26,000 people there. So. I think you'll be fine,
but you're not allowed to go in unless you've had a negative lateral flow and or double vaccinated plus 14 days. So I think like the risk, and it's outside, the risk is quite low. And I will be staying away from a lot of people, and I'll probably be wearing a mask at least 90% of the time. Just because I don't trust people.
You'll have time to move around as well. You'll have space to move around. Exactly. Sorry. Just a quick note on mini golf. It is personally for me the perfect first date with someone.
Oh, okay.
For a few reasons. Obviously, it's not for everyone. But for me, yeah, it is an opportunity to show that you can have a laugh. It's an opportunity to show you can have, make fun of yourself. There could be an opportunity to show off a little bit. But I think the most important thing is that it gives you an opportunity to be humble, because you can be a little bit cocky, and then when things go wrong, take it really well and not be a dick about it. If you're incapable of that, don't go and play mini golf on the first date. So you've got to get the balance right between, oh, we're having fun, but also, look how good I am at this. But also, it's okay that I'm bad. Do you know what I mean? There's that sort of...
And also, if you're going out with someone who's not those things, you know that it's not going to work.
Yeah. It's like a litmus test, like how you speak to waiters. It's, are they going to throw the golf club when they don't make a shot?
Yeah.
Pool equally works, but then also it's in a pub and
there's
people around. Not great. That makes you sound like I want to isolate people. I don't want to isolate people. That's
unscary. I do want to isolate quite a lot of people, though, to be fair, because people are nasty.
Yeah, true.
I having said that, I haven't been on a first date in a long time. No, so, so, but thanks for the tip. Next time,
it's more for the listeners, to be honest. But there you go.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's
for our 15-year-old listeners, cool. Apparently.
Yeah, all of them, all of the people we know. Who also have girlfriends, long-term girlfriends. Anyway, but nice, cool. That's my thing about golf. Now to our favourite part of the show and our potty nominee. So before we move on to our nominee two for potty 5.0, I am just going to show you something, George.
Oh, you bought it?
Yeah, so... So as you would talk, as we maybe talked about last week, we are in the process of moving house or potentially, you know, sorting out shit to kind of get houses sorted, because I'm be looking to go to Bristol, and we're kind of sorting out all our old stuff and going through all that, and I thought it was like, and I actually genuinely went to WH Smith before we recorded last episode and bought some sticky labels to write down on plastic boxes what shit is. And then we had your podcast, and my nan, who is helping me and helping us, was like, right, let's buy one because it sounds great. And it's exactly what we're doing right now. So I haven't actually said what we're doing. I bought a faux memo sticker maker label thingy. I haven't used it yet. But it obviously works, and our podcast works because Faux Memo have got one more purchase of a label maker because of our podcast. Thank you, George.
I actually am really, really chuffed about that. So thank you, Will.
Good. I'm glad. So this week, as we said, and as we did last week, Potty 4.0 was, we tried to break the bank. This time we've gone the opposite end of the spectrum, and we've got budget smart devices or budget kind of potty nominees. Last week was the Faux Memo sticker label machine thing. Sounds great, good fun, and George uses it to draw penises on Alice's head. Why else would you use it? So this week, I've gone for another budget. This is a very boring, but also quite interesting and quite useful, and potentially, it's quite pointless, but it is the TP-Link Casa Smart Wi-Fi plug.
Okay.
So, it's a smart plug.
Right.
And... you get a pack of three, and it's £27. So it's quite, you know, reasonable cheap. I mean, I know it's a plug, so it's still quite expensive for a plug. But you get three, so that's maths that I can't do. About £7 each.
£9.
£9 each.
On the nose.
£9. Is it?
Yeah.
Not quite on the nose.
Well, 27.
Oh, that's my... 27, yeah. £26.99, £9 each. That shows you my maths. Again, blame Pfizer. So this thing is basically, it works with Amazon Alexa and Google Assistant, so it's voice controlled. It works with any Wi-Fi router, and there's no need for kind of a separate hub. It controls devices connected to the smart plug, and you use the free Casa app on your phone to turn it off, turn it on. You can schedule a timer, and you basically just plug it in. Like, you plug a light in and you go, turn on smart plug one, and then the light will turn on.
Oh, so it's okay. Quite cool. Yeah, I'm following now. For a little while, I was a little bit lost.
And also, you can also do it on your app, so you can just, literally switch on the plug, switch on and off the plug.
Mm.
from your app. So that's and that's basically it. There's no. It's apparently here. It says there's multiple safety guarantees. Overheating protection and PC flame retardant material help minimize burning hazards. And yeah, look, I mean, it's highly pointless. It's not that expensive. £9 for a plug, I suppose, is quite expensive, and you can definitely use it on a toilet.
Okay, so I think £9, I'd say £27 for three, is the sort of thing that you would absolutely purchase when you're like moving house, because obviously we hate to bang on about it, but we've just moved in, and that's the sort of shit you would buy. Like we spent, I think I probably spent £25 on extension leads. Like, do you know what I mean? I don't think it'd be something you would buy because you're sat around and you're bored. I think it's something you'd buy, you know, we need this for the house. I know it's £30. But, you know, three plugs around the house is pretty decent. And, okay, what would you use it for?
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, other than like, when you're in bed
and
you want to turn the light off. What could you use potentially for? A fan, maybe?
Yeah, fan. I'm thinking about if I'm coming home. What could be?
You could turn like an electric heater.
Yeah, electric heater. You can do Hive. You can already turn your heating off remotely. I mean, you can set a kettle to turn on because normally you have to flick it.
Yeah.
What would I want turning on?
You could turn on your electric blanket.
Yeah.
And I know you could probably have a smart because one of our party nominees was a smart electric blanket that you could turn on, but you could do this via you could skip the middleman and just get it from the plug.
I think the problem is that nowadays everything's so instant.
Yeah.
Like, I turn my laptop on and it's ready to go in about 15 seconds and it's a pretty good laptop. Like, ovens turn on and heat up within like 10 minutes. Like, I mean, okay, fine. You can put an oven on because you need to set it.
And also you've got smart ovens. Like, I think it's basically lights and a fan and I'm just having a look around my room to see if there's anything else.
Could do my toasty TV, maker.
You could. Maybe.
TV, yeah, but what do you want to just pre-turn your TV on for? If you're not in the room, you don't need it on.
That's also very true. Radio? Maybe you could turn your radio... Like, I don't know. If you wanted... I don't know. Who knows? Let us know. What about you think?
Okay.
What would you use a smart plug?
Let's do what we did before, which was really good. Okay, people with pets, brilliant for that. Absolutely excellent for people with pets. Radio being the main one. You could...
Yeah.
There could be a switch where it cat flap. Don't know. Anyway. And also for people... maybe for people with accessibility and mobility issues. Maybe plugs maybe plugs are in places that they can't always get to. Or there could be an alarm system that could be operated purely by their phone based on this. You know, for mobility reasons, that could be fucking brilliant. Because...
Yes.
Sometimes I struggle, and I've got the world's longest arms, to reach behind the TV and turn the plug on. So, if I had a disability, that would be nearly impossible. So, perhaps things like that. Or even if you're just in bed and you want the fucking light turned off, and it takes you 5 minutes to get out of bed because you're 96 years old, that'd be a good one.
Yeah. I think things like that would be great. They have their uses.
They do. But perhaps I wouldn't spend £30 on it. Probably going to buy one now and see what I can do with it. Because it's £30.
I'm definitely going to buy one at some point.
Okay.
Because Katie's got some smart plugs and it's quite cool. Like, she just turns her all her lights off at once by just saying turn off smart plugs. But that's literally it. It's just the lights. And I think the novelty factor would completely wear off when you've turned them off by your voice twice.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing. I'm going to buy one, so it's fine. We'll find out.
Yeah, that's fine. So it was the TP-Link smart plug, Casa mini smart plug. Go check it out. £27, which apparently is £9 each, but don't trust my maths. Cool. Well, that's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening so far. We'll be back next week with another episode. So tune in and let us know what you think about our episodes and let us know if you've got any smart ideas, smart devices that you'd like us to plug, anything so that you'd like us to talk about. Give us a shout out on Instagram, Twitter, email, podcastofthings20@gmail.com and @podcastofthings. So the only thing left to do now is shout out Dom and his band.
Please go follow Dom Bowdry and his band, Y Pinto. They do the intro, the outro, and everything in between. You can find them on Instagram at whypintoband. That's why, as in, why are my lights turning on and off? I've not even asked them to. Band as in, Ed's probably going to label all his band t-shirts. Oh, I've done it the wrong way around. And a pinto, because Ed can now label his pinto beans just like I did last week.
Yes, nailed it. Did you actually label your pinto beans?
No, I don't have pinto beans. I label my chicken stock, though. So there you go.
Well, good. Well done. Anyway, less of that. We'll see you next week. Cheers, guys.